Good afternoon. Preachers are a strange lot. Everyone that I know who is just different from everybody else that I know. I woke up at 4 a.m. and decided at 4 a.m. that I was not going to preach what I had planned all week to preach this morning. So I said, I will take tonight's lesson and move it up to Sunday morning. And then about 4:04, it dawned on me, if you do that, you're still going to have something at 4 o'clock. So at 4:05, Lacey, I got out of bed. And what you're about to hear is it. And I'm going to give you the part of it that I can remember. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And now, our Heavenly Father, our privilege is once again come and to assemble ourselves here, giving praise to you for this opportunity, giving thanks to you that you have spared us these moments that we share together. So help us now, help us to ease our anxious and worried hearts, to gather all of our cares and set them beside us, that we may listen carefully and receive humbly your word, which can save our souls. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Man has long been prone to take lightly the things of God. Today, just do not take God very seriously at all. And as one begins to read through the Bible, you don't have to read very far or very long to see that the downfall of many in this book was because of their failure to take God seriously. This was the problem with Adam and Eve. God created man, Adam, and from man he created Eve, and he brought them together and placed them in the Garden of Eden. He gave them free reign of the garden. He says there's one thing, just one. He said there's a tree in the middle of that garden. He said don't touch it, don't eat of it. But beside that one restriction, here it is, have a blast. And then Satan comes. And Satan, who had given them nothing and had done nothing for them, convinces them that it's all right to do what God had told them not to do. Because of that, Adam and Eve sinned. Because of their sin, they brought sin upon mankind. And because of their sin led to their death. You know what brought them down? Adam and Eve failed to take God seriously for what he told them. That was the same, the downfall, that was the same for Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, in Leviticus chapter 10. They were priests. And the Bible says in Leviticus 10 that they offered up a strange fire, or a different fire than the kind that God had specified be offered up in a sacrifice. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? Did they feel, you know what, this will be better, and yeah, we've been told, but I mean, come on, how serious can you be about this? And Nadab and Abihu were killed because of their disobedience, and their disobedience was nothing more than them just failing to take God seriously for what he told them. Same thing is true with King Saul. Saul was told to go and to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Everything, man and everything that draws a breath, Saul was told, you kill it. And Saul almost did what he was told. For some reason, King Saul spared the Amalekite king, King Agag. And he spared some of the best of the cattle in order to make a sacrifice for God. You know what Saul's problem was? He failed to take God seriously. On and on, as you read through the Bible, where God gives specific commands, specific details. This is what I want done. This is how I want it done. This is how I want you to live. And yet, man and women forever have failed to take God seriously. And the problem with many people tonight is their failure to take God seriously. So tonight, we want to ask three questions. Question number one is the why question. Why should we take God seriously? Are there some reasons? I mean, are there some sound reasons why we should take God seriously at his word? I think there is. First, I think we ought to take God seriously because of exactly who he is. Because of who he is. We ought to take him seriously because of his divine nature. Listen, God is omniscient. Well, what does that mean? That means that God knows everything. Everything. God is omnipresent. What does that mean? That means that God is everywhere. And God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. Well, what does that mean? That means that God is all powerful. So God knows all things, God sees all things, and God is all powerful. And because of his divine nature, because of who he is, we need to take him seriously. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul says of God that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. There is absolutely nothing that you can think of. There is absolutely nothing that you can imagine that God Almighty does not have the power to do. And a God of that nature, and a God of that knowledge, and a God of that power is a God that we need to take seriously. We need to take seriously. We need to take him seriously because of who he is, because of his nature. Why should we take God seriously? We should take God seriously, secondly, because of everything that he's done for us. Everything that he's done for us. Paul said in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 that the goodness of God leads to repentance. When you stop and look at all that God has done for you, how does that not drive you to Him? The goodness of God, Paul says, leads man to repentance. Now, let's think for a moment about His goodness. The goodness of God can be seen in His patience with us. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that God is not slow, as some men count slowness, but He is long-suffering. That is, He is patient to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every day the world stands is another sign of the goodness of God. Because every day that God delays the coming of Jesus Christ is another day that sinful man has to repent and turn from his sins. We need to take God seriously because of all that He's done for us. His goodness, look at His goodness. His goodness is seen in His patience. But I would also say to you that His patience can be seen in the giving of His Son. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 through 15, Paul says, look at the indescribable gift that God gave us. That unspeakable or that indescribable gift was the gift of Jesus Christ, His Son. Listen, why should we take God seriously? We should take God seriously because of His nature, because of who He is. We should take God seriously because of all that He has done for us. And thirdly, we should take God seriously because someday it is He, through His Son, who will judge us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Listen to how Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 10. Paul says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things that we've done in the body, whether they be good or bad. Now listen carefully to Paul's next statement. In verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul then, his next words are these. He says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We need to take God seriously. We need to take God seriously because of who He is. We need to take God seriously because of everything that He's done for us. We need to take God seriously because someday He will judge us through His only begotten Son. But let's ask the second question. The second question is how? When we look out at the world today, and even when we look at the church today, how can we know that people today do not take God seriously? How can we know that people don't take God seriously? Now, I want you to listen. We can know that people do not take God seriously today because of man's insensitivity to sin. His insensitivity to sin. There was a day, and it's been in my lifetime, there was a day when even non-Christian people knew that sin was wrong. They did. There was a day when even non-Christian people knew that certain things should not be done. But I'm telling you, man is calloused tonight. He's calloused. And he's as hard goes. In Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, and in the 15th verse, the prophet cries out, "Are you ashamed of your conduct?" He says, "You are not ashamed of your conduct." And then he says this. He says, "You do not even know how to blush." When a person doesn't know how to blush, but I'm telling you, that's where Jeremiah was at in his day, and I'm telling you, that's where we're at in America tonight. The most loathsome behavior, the most perverted lifestyles, not only aren't they ashamed, not only are they incapable of blushing, But they're arrogant of it. God have mercy. God have mercy. That's not a lie. That's a perversion. It's perversion. You want to know how we know that man tonight does not take God seriously? All you have to do is look at how sensitive his heart has become over sin. Let me show you something. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 19. Paul says, having lost all sensitivity. Sensitivity is feeling. Having lost all feeling. Listen to what he says. They have given themselves over to sensuality. How far have they given themselves over? So as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. This is hard. You talk about insensitive to sin. Paul here is talking about a group who has lost all feeling. All feeling for what's right and for what's wrong. They've lost all of it. And they have engaged themselves in every kind of impurity they can think of. And after having done it, they have a desire or a lust to do more of it. That's insensitivity. And I'm telling you, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. And the reason we're there is because we don't take God seriously. How do we know that people today don't take God seriously? Well, we look out in the world and know because of their insensitivity to sin. The more perverted it is, the more arrogant they are about it. And God help you, if you're to stand up and speak something about it, then you're the problem. You're the problem. You know, you're narrow-minded and you're bigoted. But I'm going to tell you, brethren, we can also look in the church and we can see how that people, men today, don't take God seriously. We see it because in too many of our lives, things like prayer and Bible study have become a thing of the past. That's the truth. That's the truth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 22, Paul says that we should pray without ceasing. Every Christian ought to pray every day. The Christians in the city of Berea were described in Acts, the 17th chapter, and in the 11th verse by saying that they search the scriptures daily to see whether those things are true or not. And I ask you, in the last 7 days, how many verses of this book have you read? You know what that is? We don't take it seriously. We don't take it seriously. Ah, it's not important. Ah, you know, that's no big deal. That's like Adam and Eve. Ah, yeah, he said that, but come on. That's like Nadab and Abihu. Lord have mercy, Nadab and Abihu were priests. Yeah, he said, oh, come on. This will be better than what he said. They didn't take it seriously. They didn't take it seriously. We can tell. How do we know that people today do not take God seriously? We know because how they treat sin. We know because when you look even among Christians, things like prayer and Bible study are thing of the past. How do we know that people don't take God seriously? Let me tell you how we know. Because we throw God out of our house. We throw God out. Joshua gathered all of the people together in Joshua, the 24th chapter. And Joshua told them, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Psalm 127 and verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. And brother, I'm going to tell you something that all of us already know. But I'm going to tell you. This nation will never, ever, ever get any better until we put God back in our home. Because until we do that, our homes have got nothing to get better with. Look, how do we know? How do we know that man does not take God seriously tonight? We know because of his insensitivity to sin. The farther down he goes, the more proud he is of himself. We know because of the attitude of many Christians about basic things such as prayer and Bible study. We know because we throw God out of our house. How do we know that men and women, how do we know that our world does not take God seriously? Another way we know, even among Christian people, is because, look, reaching out to others has become a lost art. It's a lost art. We have family members, we have relatives, we have friends, we have people that we love. We know these people are not Christians. We know these people are away from God, and yet we remain silent. We just don't take God serious. We just don't take him serious. Yeah, he said it, but you know what? And that's the attitude. So why should we take God seriously? There's good reasons to do that. How do we know that people today don't take God seriously? Well, we know that. So let's ask the real question. Question number three. And that's the what question. What does it mean to really take God seriously? What does it mean to really take him seriously? Number one, to really take him seriously, it means that we obey him. That we obey him. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, Peter said, "Seeing you have purified your souls by obeying the truth." The truth is something that we must obey. Obey. But people, you know what they want to do? They want to tell you how they feel. Well, that's how I feel about it. Well, if that's not in there, then that's not how you should feel about it. Well, I'll tell you what I think. Well, what difference does that make? What difference does that make? Taking God seriously means that we obey him. We obey him. Listen, what he says comes before our wants and our rathers. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 14 about verse 10, he says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death." Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, he said, "It is not in man that walketh to direct his own step." But you know what? We keep trying to direct our own steps. We keep talking about how we feel. We keep talking about what we want. We keep living our own lives. But if we take God seriously, we're going to obey him. So what does it mean to really take him seriously? It means to obey. Secondly, what does it mean to really take God seriously? It means to serve him. It means to serve him. Now, let me give you two passages right here. First, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, which many of us quote, but we don't understand the context out of which it comes. Jesus said, "Be faithful unto death, and you will receive a gift of life. The crown of life." Now listen to me. In the context of Revelation 2:10, their faithfulness was going to cause them their life. The construction of the Greek New Testament there, Jesus is saying, in view of you about to be killed for your faith, you stay faithful anyway. That's the construction of it. It was not just be faithful and you'll hang out all the way here and then you'll die and go to heaven. That's true, but that's not what he's saying there. Those people there in Asia Minor were looking at death, and Jesus says, as you look at it and as it knocks at your door, you stay faithful. Second passage is 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning with verse 6 and following. Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And he says, not for me only, but for all those who will love his appearing. Brethren, listen carefully to me. Paul took God seriously. And as a result of Paul taking God seriously, Paul lost his life. He lost his life. But the same Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, he says that this present suffering can in no way be compared to the glory that will follow. Romans 8, 18. What does it mean to take God seriously? It means to obey him. What does it mean to take God seriously? What it means is that we will serve him. Finally, what does it take? What does it really mean to take God seriously? Brethren, what it means is that heaven is going to be worth more to us than earth. In Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1, Paul said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth upon the right hand. In verse 2, Paul says, to set your heart on things above, not on the things of the earth. Honestly, when you take God seriously, this old world just doesn't mean a whole lot. Just doesn't mean a whole lot. Why should we take God seriously? The downfall of many is that we don't. Why should we take him seriously? Because of his nature, of who he is, his divine attributes. Why should we take him seriously? Because of everything that he's done for us. Why should I take God seriously? Because he's going to judge me someday. How do I look out at the world and in the church and know that people aren't taking him seriously? I see how them crazy folks out there live. They've lost it. They've lost all spiritual consciousness. Just look at them. Look at them. Even among God's people, basic Christian things are a thing of the past. We've asked God to leave our house, and in a lot of places, we've opened the door and thrown him out. It's truth. It's truth. And reaching those who are lost, most of us feel, is somebody else's responsibility. So what does it mean to take him seriously? It means I'm going to do what he says to do, even when I don't want to do it. I'm going to serve him. And I'm going to realize heaven is worth a whole lot more than earth. One of the great questions that's asked in the Bible is asked over in 1 Kings 18 as the prophet was battling the prophets of the false religion Baal. In 1 Kings, the 18th chapter and the 21st verse, the question is asked, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? If God is God, then you serve him. If he isn't, then you serve Baal. Brethren, here's the choice. We either decide we're going to take God seriously, or we choose that we're not going to take him seriously. But that choice has repercussions. Repercussions here, and a heap of repercussions later. The downfall of many is they just don't take God seriously. That must change. That must change. If you're here this evening as an erring child of God, you've made that conscious decision to turn and to walk away from God and to leave Him. You need to come back. You need to stop pretending that nothing's going on. And you need to fix it. That's called repentance. It's a change of life. And you need to seek the prayers of this body. If you're here, if you're subject to the gospel in any way, you can let it be known right now by coming as together we stand and as we sing.